You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Did y'all hear the story? I know we're in Song of Solomon. There was this church and they needed a pastor. And so they kind of heard several preachers and they narrowed it down to an older preacher and a younger preacher. And they couldn't decide, you know, which one they wanted. And the church was kind of 50-50. And so they said, well, fly him in here on Saturday, put him in the hotel, and we'll let them both preach Sunday morning and then we'll vote. And so sure enough, that Saturday night, they flew both preachers in, the younger preacher, the older preacher. So the older preacher got in his room and kind of was relaxing and kind of looking over his notes and said, you know, I probably need to go over this message. So he kind of stood and started preaching it. Well, the younger preacher was right next to him, and so he heard this message. So he put out his ink pen, think, man, that is good. I really like that. So he starts writing down the outlines. I mean, I love this. And so sure enough, that Sunday morning, they said, we couldn't decide which preacher that we wanted. And so we just brought them both in, and we think it would be right to let the younger preacher go first. So the younger preacher got up and started preaching that older preacher's message. I mean, point by point, everything. And the older preacher is sitting there going like, this is the only message I brought. And, you know, I can't change gears now. And so he got up right behind me and preached the exact same message. They had a meeting afterward, and they came back in and said, we want to recommend that we call the older preacher. And then they said, but we do need to say this. Now, and there's a reason why, because now the younger preacher had a great message. We believe the older preacher, he needs to study. Are you with me? But he's got the best memory of anybody we've ever heard. So. All right, Song of Solomon, let's all stand. I'm really not going to preach out of Song of Solomon, but there is a verse that I want to look at. I just wanted to make you a little nervous. Song of Solomon. Jonathan, would you raise your hand? Jonathan's my song leader, and he's my youth pastor, and he's my maintenance man, and does about 1,000 other jobs. He's child number 4. We have 11 children. And they got numbers. We get confused. Number 1, 2, 4. He's number 4. And I got my 2 grandsons. Got Naren and Logan are with me. And we have 23 grandchildren. I know I don't look that old, but I was 12 when I got married. My wife was 11. And so I'm so glad that they could come. And Brother Treiber, they just love Brother Treiber. He's been so gracious and kind, okay? All right, I'm looking for the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter number 1. Now, I should know what time to finish because we're eating at 1, okay? So we're going to remember that. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Look at verse 6. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But watch this. But my own vineyard, what does it say? You know, if I were probably preaching tonight, I might would preach something different. You know, sometimes you go to a conference, you have 2 or 3 messages in your Bible, and sometimes you don't know till you may get up here. And then sometimes it's not like that. You know exactly maybe what God wants, you know, a month out. It's just, you know, just seems how the Lord works sometimes. But I just kind of knew, especially with the crowd that we have this morning, this was what the Lord wanted. Now go to 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. What a joy to be here, and what tremendous preaching we have heard. And you know, the preacher was talking about different styles of preaching in the preacher session. He was talking about expository and you know, directional and topical, all different kinds of styles. And I was trying to figure out, you know, what style am I? You know, what style am I? 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And look at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. What does he say? So run that you might what? And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we in what? Incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So I fight, not as one that beateth the air. That is a boxing term. He's using two athletic terms. One is running and one is boxing. I used to box when I was a kid. My dream was really to go to the Olympics, and they said I was good. I used to spar with Kelsey Banks. He actually went to the Olympics, and so I understand a little bit about the terminology there. But look with me, if you would, at verse 27. Notice what Paul says by the Holy Spirit. But I bring under my body and bring it into what? Subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others. When I have preached to others, now watch this, I myself, you remember Song of Solomon? They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Look what he says here. When I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul put himself there. He said, I preach to other people. I've got to be cautious about myself. And I don't want to be negative and critical, but how many times have I been to conferences, maybe not to even preach, but just to be there in the conference, and then to hear maybe a year later or 2 years later or 5 years later about this particular preacher falling and getting into sin and messing up his whole ministry. And I've never been, and I've never desired to be the kind of pastor to throw rocks at those guys. And, you know, I do not rejoice when a brother falls. You know, because it hurts the cause of Christ. I get no glory in that. You know, that I might get up the ladder a little bit more because he messed up. That is crazy. That is wicked. Can I get a witness there? And so I get no pleasure in when a good brother, a good preacher, and he falls. And that ought to break our heart. But you need to listen carefully. It could happen to you. I mean, if Paul says it could happen to him, sir, it could happen to you. And he says, when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? Should be a castaway. That word there means rejected or to be worthless or to be useless or to be of no value, to be disapproved or to be disqualified. So, you know, it could happen to pastors. It can happen to youth pastors. It can happen to missionaries. It can happen to evangelists. It can happen to Sunday school teachers. It can happen to song leaders. It can happen to those in the choir. It could happen to any of us. And so let us take heed lest we fall. So I want to preach to you on the subject, how to keep your life from becoming a mess when you help others with their mess. Did you hear the title? How to keep your life from becoming a mess while you're helping others with their mess. Paul was a preacher. He was helping others. But while he was doing that, he was concerned about himself, lest he get disqualified, lest he gets put on the shelf. Our Father, we love you. We thank you for tremendous preaching that we've heard. It's been helpful. And Lord, we can never go wrong when we preach on Jesus. That's really what good preaching is pointing folks to Christ. And so, Lord, I understand that. But, Lord, I really do want to be a help. And, God, I really do want to be a blessing. So I pray and beg and plead and Father, in these next few minutes, that you would help us. And God, that you would meet with us. And Father, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray and ask it all. Amen. I appreciate your patience. You may be seated. Let me just kind of say this in way of introduction. Just because you're trying to help others does not mean that you're going to be exempt from certain things. For instance, just because you and I are trying to, you know, serve the Lord and we're preachers or evangelists or Sunday school teachers, it doesn't mean that we're going to be exempt from the attack of the devil. I think about what Jesus told Peter, that Satan hath desired him that he may sift him as wheat. You know, the devil would like to wreck your life. You know, the devil would like to wreck your church, and the devil would like to wreck my life, and the devil would like to wreck my church. And so you're not exempt from the attack of the devil. May I say this? You're not exempt from the weakness of the flesh. Let me tell you something. I believe when you get saved, you're saved instantly. I believe when you get saved, you're saved forever. But my friend, your flesh is really not much more saved than it was the day you got saved. You have to deal with that flesh every single day. I think Paul said, hey, I die daily. So you're not exempt from the weakness of the flesh. Just because you're a preacher, or because you may be a conference speaker, or you may be in great demand. Hey, you and I, hey, we still have the flesh. Hey, may I say quickly, you're not exempt from the temptation of sin. And by the way, we're not exempt from the troubles and problems of life. Now, the Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. And so just very quickly this morning, I would like to try to be a help in how to keep our lives. I'm talking about most of us in this room are in the ministry, and we're preachers, or we're pastoring churches, or we're assistant pastors, and we all have the illustrations, and we all can list the names of great men of God and who had great churches. And the preacher reminded us about many of those top 10 churches that don't even exist today. And so may the Lord help us this morning. Number one, you and I need a very strong, solid marriage. We cannot overemphasize the importance when if you're in the ministry. You know, the plumber, loses his wife, and I hate that, but you know, his business may continue to grow. If the lawyer loses his life, his business may continue to go. If the doctor loses his wife, he may continue to do well, but it's going to affect you and I if we're in the ministry, if I'm preaching to independent Baptists. Are you still in it? That's why the Bible tells us a lot about this. We need a strong, solid marriage. I did not go to to Bible college. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My dad was an alcoholic. Brother Carl Hatch led my dad to Christ, and I was the youngest of nine. We never heard the word saved or born again until I was nearly 16 years of age. And my wife came from a very rough background. Her mother died when she was about 3 years old, she was brought in by her grandmother, who had 13 children, and nearly all of her, she called them her brothers, but they was really her uncles, because she grew up with them, and they was nearly every single one of them were drug addicts and alcoholics, so she came from a very rough background, and I came from a very rough background, and I wish I'd have went to Bible college. I surrendered to preach on Sunday morning, and the preacher said, man, that's great. I'm glad that God called you to preach. You can preach tonight. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. And he was serious. And I preached my first sermon that Sunday night, and I was pastoring Wednesday. I do not recommend that, okay? I really don't recommend that at all. But I was pastoring, and it'll be 40 years, the same church, come January. But you need to listen carefully. I struggled big time. And in just about every area, but even in my marriage as a preacher. I started pastoring, I was 22 years of age, and my wife was 21. And, I didn't have that pattern of what a good home looks like, and a husband and a wife. And my wife didn't have that. And so I can remember I hadn't been preaching long, and we had a ministry, and the Lord was blessing the church, and so I was going to go preach at the jail on Tuesday night, and so her and I, we got into a fuss. I know none of y'all do that anymore. You have perfected that. But we got into a fuss, and it wasn't really, really bad. But we got into this fuss, and I remember looking at her. I said, we'll take care of this when I get back. I got my car and I left. And the Lord got in the car with me. Can I get a witness? And he said, where are you going? I'm like, what do you mean where I'm going? I'm going to go preach. He said, you're going to be by yourself on this one. pulled in the church parking lot, and I went back home and parked the car, and I got out. I went inside, and I shut the door. My wife looked at me and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "You're supposed to be going and preaching." And I said, "Yeah, I know, but I can't preach like this." I sat down, and she began to cry. I began to cry, and I said, "You know, we just this is not how the Lord wants it." You know, when you come to a conference like this, and how you doing, brother? And everything's great, and I don't want to be ugly, and I really don't want to be the preacher that nobody likes. I really don't want to be that guy. But I got to tell you the truth. If you're struggling in your marriage and nobody knows it, you got to get some help. Bubba Treber and his wife been married for 51 years. And by the way, today is my wife and our anniversary. We've been married for 43 years, and I told my wife, I said, "Brother Treble wants me to come preach at this pastor's conference, but it's on our anniversary. What do you think about that?" She says, "Ain't no big deal. If they give you a love offering, just give it to me. We'll be good." You tell me that's not a preacher's wife. That is a preacher's wife. So she got there this morning, and you know, she does a K-4 in our Christian school, and she got there this morning, and she called me. I had her some flowers there, and I had a note there, and I said, "I will make it up." You better believe it. Can I get some help? But she understands, you know, the ministry. We don't have to celebrate it on that day. And I'm glad I have a wonderful wife, and God has helped our marriage, and we haven't perfected it. But I'm telling you, if you're in the ministry and you're going to try to preach to others, and your marriage is falling apart and your home is falling apart, I'm telling you, my friend, you're going to get in a mess while you're trying to help others with their mess. May I say quickly, number two, you must deal with the sin in your life. See, I'm out here in California, and I'm preaching, and you know, but if you're down in the South in Gulfport, Mississippi, and you start preaching about, you know, transgender, and you start preaching against homosexuality, you start preaching against alcohol, you start preaching against pornography, I mean, somebody liable to stand up and say, "Preach it, brother." And so if I started preaching against those things, and I'm among preachers, and, you know, I could probably get the amens and say, you know, but I mean, the truth is that's probably not the problem in this room. I mean, there's probably nobody in this room that is an alcoholic, and there's probably nobody in this room that's hooked to drugs, and there's probably nobody in this room that's a homosexual. But what is our sin? You know, did not Jesus tell us in Matthew chapter 7, before we go start, you know, pulling the beam out of somebody else's eye, or the mote to get the beam out of ours? And we preachers, I understand it. And, you know, we preach, and we like the amens, but how about you and I? Can we handle it? Can we handle it if somebody preaches to us? Will you allow me to preach to us for a moment? Some of you are getting really nervous. Let me tell you, I don't know about what your sins may be, but how about discouragement? You know, Elijah said, I've had enough. Lord, take away my life. Listen carefully. I am not going to get on anybody about getting discouraged. I know what that is. Okay, I am not, but look, it doesn't bother me that you get discouraged, but we cannot live there. We cannot live there. I'm sure we all have our moments of discouragement, but we cannot stay there. How about unbelief? How about unbelief? The children of Israel didn't go into the promised land. It wasn't because of homosexuality. It wasn't because of transgender. It wasn't because of drugs or alcohol. But Hebrews 3 said they could not enter in because of their unbelief. See, we need to believe God can still work today. We need to believe that, you know, here's a conference that we're trying to be encouraged, that I'm glad it was done in the 70s, and I'm glad it was done in the 80s, but I want to see it done today. I want to believe, God, that people can still get saved, and we can still run bus routes, and we can still have church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I believe one of the reasons maybe we're not having a revival is because we don't believe we can have revival. I was preaching in San Antonio, and if I named the name of the preacher, some of you'd probably know him, a tremendous preacher. And he got up and he was preaching, and he said this. He said, if you're thinking we're going to have revival in America, you're reading the funny papers. And boy, I sat there and I thought, man, if I believed that, I wouldn't say it probably. And I said to myself, you know, I don't know if we'll have a nationwide revival or citywide revival or a churchwide revival, but if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come and sup with him and he with me. And I believe our brother preacher was telling us a while ago, if we'll open the door and let Jesus in, hey, we can have individual revival. And if you have revival and I have revival, and maybe it affect the church have revival, it affect the community, but it's got to start with us. Amen. Judgment must begin at the house of God. How about dishonesty? How about that dishonesty? How about pride? Samuel told Saul, he said, when you was little in your own eyes, Saul got too big for his britches. Watch this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, Paul says, For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called in an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. My friend, listen to me. My friend, you could be in hell right now. My friend, at long being in the ministry, I think about my life and my family and my wife and her family. My friend, we are what we are by the grace of God. We need to remember that. How about gossip? I don't know all the gossip that's going on in the country. I really don't. I generally don't know all of the gossip, and I don't want to know. Yep. I am not in it. I don't want to know it. Because I don't want to discourage myself. You still with me? Oh, okay, I better sorry. You must deal with the sin in your life, and I must deal with the sin in my life. Remember, quickly, you must have a daily walk with God. Boy, I was struggling as a young preacher, and my marriage was not that healthy, and started, you know, trying to get that fixed. And I didn't catch it when I was in the Christian school about reading your Bible like you should. And so I was struggling. And, you know, I was trying to go to the Bible. I hadn't, you know, to get a message, you know, for Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. And so I'm going to the Bible, and I'm trying to get these messages, and I'm struggling. And I had a missionary who used to work with Lester Roloff, doing very, very well. And so I talked to him. He was an older preacher, way older preacher. I said, brother, I'm just seeing that, just struggling. He said, Brother Carr, you don't go to the Bible just to get sermons. He said, you go to the Bible for God to talk to you and to walk with God. And then I never forget, he said this, kiss the Son, lest you be angry. And he kissed the Bible. Y'all looking at me really funny. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word was God. And my friend, the Bible is not just about getting sermons and that can all flow, but the Bible is the mind of God. And when you open the Bible, you open the mind of God. And the way we get to know God is through His Word. You must have a daily walk with God. I think about Martha and Mary, and so many of us are cumbered about with much serving. And I love being busy. I love going. And that's the way I'm put together. I love all of that. But we must be still. Martha, she's aggravated, and she's trying to serve, and she had all she could take. And she's like, Jesus, would you tell her to come and help me? She just thought, boy, Jesus fixing to straighten Mary out. Martha, Martha, thou cumbered about. But one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part. We've got to get with God every day. I said, we have to get with God every day. How to keep your life from becoming a mess when you help others with their mess. Number one, you got to have a strong marriage. Number two, you must deal with the sin in your life. Number three, you must have a daily walk with God. And may I say quickly, let your focus be on Christ. Go to the book of Galatians chapter number one. Let your focus be on Christ. Galatians, the book of Galatians quickly, chapter number one. The book of Galatians chapter number one. And look with me, if you would, at verse 10. For do I now persuade men our God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, nearly similar words in Colossians 3 and verse number 23, he says this, and whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. Let your focus be on Christ. Now, I agree exactly what the preacher said about numbers. I like keeping up with numbers. I like to know how many we have in attendance. I like to know how many is in Sunday school. I like to know how I get a report every week. You know, how many was in every class? How many was on the buses? You know, how many is on Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning? You know, what would the offer? I love all of that. We count the cars in our parking lot. I do. I can tell you how many cars we had. And why? Because if your church is growing, you don't want to, you know, dawn on you the last minute that you need more parking. And so we keep up with the car Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Man, I love all of that. But listen carefully, our focus must be on Jesus. I've got to be cautious that when I ask a brother, how long you been at your church, how many you're running, that I don't compare mine to yours. You say, what do you do when you preach in a conference and all the other guys are such great preachers and they preach such great messages, and then you got to preach? You know what I do with all that? I don't worry about it. I am how God put me together. I cannot compete. I have to keep my focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to let your focus be on Him. We were looking for a principal for our school, and so I was preaching in North Mississippi, and so I was talking to this brother, and I said, look, I'm in a revival here. Why don't you come in the afternoon? We'll meet and talk. So he came and met with me, and I said, why don't you and your wife come down and, you know, look at the church, and we can talk some more, and we'll be praying, you be praying. And so he came to our church, and I asked my oldest sister plays the piano. She's been playing the piano in our church for 30-something years, and she took piano lessons and paid for it out of her own pocket because we didn't have a piano player. And so she's been playing for 30-something years in our church. And so I go to my oldest sister. Now, she's the oldest, and I'm the youngest, and there were seven between us. Are you understanding? Somebody said something about their sisters. And are y'all with me? And so I said, this particular Sunday morning, we got this couple visiting, and her husband, he's going to lead the singing. He's going to lead the choir, because he'll be principal in our school, perhaps, but, you know, he'll do some other things. But his wife has been teaching piano for like 25 years. Could we just let her play and let him lead the singing? And she said, oh, not a problem. That'd be great. So that Sunday morning, we, you know, had the choir and had the congregation singing. We're going to do the offering. We're taking up the offering. And this sister played, this visiting lady, she played the piano. And buddy, she was zoom, 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 zoom. And I mean, she went all over that piano. And when she got done, something our church had never done, and my sister's been playing it for years, and they all started clapping. Woo! My heart sunk. I thought, here's my sister been playing for nearly 30 years, and not one single time did anybody ever applaud and ever did that kind of a gesture. And I think, oh, no, her heart's going to be broke, and she's going to quit. And, you know, so Monday morning, I call her. I'm on I-10 traveling. I don't remember where I'm going, probably to get something to drink. But anyway, flash, flash, flash. And so I'm on the interstate, and I call her. I said, call her. Hello. I said, Nancy, this is Dan. Yep, I know what you want. It's my sister, you understand. I know what you want. I know what happened yesterday. I said, yeah, that's what I called. And she said, I want you to listen to me. Listen to me good. I want to say, I'm your pastor now. You need to calm down. Yeah, good luck is true. She said, Dan, listen to me. She said, I don't play the piano for you. I don't play the piano for Faith Baptist Church. I play the piano for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then she said, you have a good day. I said, all right, you too. Bye, bye, click. My friend, you better keep your focus on Jesus Christ. That's why we're so discouraged. That's why we're quitting. We got our focus on the attendance and the offering, and that stuff is important, but nobody trumps Jesus Christ. You must have a daily walk with God. Let your focus be on Jesus Christ. If you would, go with me to Matthew chapter 11 quickly. And I'll close with this. You must learn to give your burdens to the Lord. Some of you know, I'm sure, Brother Duffett in Fairbanks Bible Baptist Church. He invited me up to preach in this, the men's retreat they have, and my wife went with me. You know, when you fly from Mississippi to Alaska, that's a pretty good trip. So we left early that morning, getting up at like 2 in the morning, and you know how it is. Some of you did that to come here, and you fly all day, and you just wore out. And so we finally get into Fairbanks. It's 11 o'clock at night, and we're coming down the escalators. I'm here, my wife's here, and we're coming down the escalator, and Brother Duffett is at the end, and it's 11 o'clock at night, and Brother Duffett goes, welcome to Alaska. And I wanted to say, where is the bed? And so he greets us, very gracious, wonderful man. So, Brother Carl, we got a car for you and your wife, and me and my man here, we're gonna lead you to the hotel where you just follow us, and we got your vehicle. So we get in the vehicle and put the luggage. His man's helping me and my wife. We're wore out. We're tired. We get to the hotel. It's probably now, I'm guessing, around 11:45 at night, and we go to the room and shut the door, and we're both tired. And got the little goodie baskets, and all of that's there. We're looking at that. Boy, this is so kind, and this is so nice, and so there's a note there with my name on it, so I'll open up the note. Dear Brother Carr, Sister Carr, so glad to have you in Alaska. If you need anything, you know, just let us know. And I noticed on his letterhead, it said these words, serving under his easy yoke. And I looked at that and I thought, Lord, it don't feel that way to me. It was the verse, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When Katrina hit, we was running about 423. This was 19 years ago. Our church went all the way down to 60. I had been there 20 years. Just like you, working, knocking doors, church is growing, and everything's going great. Katrina hits, and it's just like we had to start all over. No more bus rides. 25, get this, you have to think about this. 25 families in my church, 25 families lost everything they had. You have to think about that. Tomorrow, as large as this church is, think about tomorrow if you had 25 families, their house burnt down, they lost everything. That was our condition. And by the way, a lot of churches in California helped us. I'm sure this church was one of them, and many of you gave and helped. About 3 months ago, my song leader, who was married to my sister, my brother-in-law, I surrendered to preach January, and he came in March, 3 months after I started preaching. My sister said, I want you to come hear my brother preach. He said, I don't want to hear your brother preach. She said, just one time, come here in one time, and I won't ever ask you again. He came Sunday morning, and I didn't know he was coming. I preached on hell. And he went back, and He paced the floor back and forth that Sunday afternoon. He came back Sunday night before church started. You missed it. He came back Sunday night before church started, and he came to me. He said, "Dan, I want to talk to you." And we went to a little room, and he said, "If you could take the Bible and show me how to be saved, I'd want to be saved." And he got saved. My brother-in-law got saved. He was my song leader for 38 years. For 20 years, every Sunday morning, he'd meet me at the church at 6:30. We'd ride together. He would lead the singing. I'd preach for over 20 years. About 3 months ago, he passed away with liver disease. Get this, 2 weeks after he passed away, his wife, who is my sister, passed away with cancer. Get this, 2 weeks after that, my mother passed away, who was a member of my church for 40 years. So I lost in just a few weeks my brother-in-law, who was a song leader for 38 years, my sister, who was the best soul leader in our church, soul winner in our church for 38 years nearly, and my mom, and just a few times. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You and I got to learn to give our burdens to the Lord. Hey, cast in all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You got to understand something about the ministry. And if you're going to serve God, you've got to get it is too big for you. And it is too big for me. I don't care how wise you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many degrees you got behind your name and how much talent you have. The ministry is too heavy for us. The book of Exodus, chapter number 18, listen to it. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, said, "Thou wilt surely wear away both thou, this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee." This thing, then you say, that was Moses' father-in-law. Listen to later what Moses said in the book of Numbers in chapter 11. He says, "I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me." Moses had nearly 3 million people. We don't have 3 million people in the state of Mississippi. And here they are. They live in Egypt. And here they are in the wilderness. And he's got all these people that he's got to pastor, that he's got to deal with. And Moses said, "God, this thing is too heavy. We're living, I believe, in the last days. And I know it's hard. And I know it's discouraging. But my friend, there's nothing too big, too heavy for him. He holds the whole universe in the palm of his hand." And I submit to you this morning, you and I have to learn to give our burdens to the Lord. I'm just telling you, there's times I come to the Lord and I said, "Lord, I don't know what to do about this. I cannot handle this. So Lord, if it be all right," the Bible says, "He that keepeth Israel neither slumber nor sleep." If you don't mind, if you're going to be up all night anyway, I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to go ahead and go to sleep. Are y'all okay? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. In Psalms 55, you know the verse. Psalms 55, I don't know what your burden is. And preacher, churches ain't growing. I shouldn't tell you this, but it might encourage you, see. Our church grew and it grew and it grew and it grew. I don't mean big numbers, but it was steady growing for preacher probably for nearly, I would say close to 30 years, we grew every year. Then it stopped.
Yep. Been there.
It stopped. And I kept, what is wrong? Man, I'm searching my heart. I'm trying to figure it out. What in the world? It's driving me crazy. I don't like that. But it did for about 5 years. People going soul winning. I mean, things are well, but I know as the pastor, I know this is not where we need to be or where I want to be. I don't know all of what God was doing. We're growing now. It's like somebody asked me how I was doing. I said, I think the snow has begun to melt. And they said, Brother Johnson said, "Was it snowing down there in Gulfport?" I said, "No, I don't mean that." You with me? I think there are seasons in our life That God is doing a deeper work in us. He's growing us closer to Him. He's trying to get us really genuinely to depend upon Him, to get our focus back on Him, that really genuine relationship and this love affair. He loves us first and we love Him. He wants to draw us closer to Him. I don't know all that God is doing in your life. I don't always know exactly maybe what He's doing in my life. But sometimes the burdens really do get heavy. And we can fake it all out. But this is true, and I'm not faking it out. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. We got to learn to give our burdens to the Lord. You still with me? How to keep your life from getting in a mess when you're trying to help others. Come to the conference, we're challenged, we're taught, we're preached to, and we leave here fired up, but boy, you better make sure that marriage is strong. I'm telling you, you can have the whole church for you, the whole church for you, and your wife is miserable and fussing at home, and it's just going to be a miserable journey. You can have the whole church that's against you, but the honey, your wife says, babe, how did I do, babe?
Yep.
She says, man, that was all right.
Right.
My wife's saying special sometimes. She'll say, how was the special? I'll say, it was all right. But I love it when she says, I said, babe, how was the message? She said, man, that was a good message. You did a good job. Come on, fellas, we love that. The whole church against you, but if your wife is with you and that thing is sweet, you're probably going to be okay. Brethren, we must deal with the sin that's in our life. We must have a daily walk with God.
Amen.
Our focus must be on Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and we must learn to give our burdens to the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.